WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan. Free Odyssey app, CBS Sports Network will join us in 2 minutes. We're coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough Studio. So the individual all-around with the gymnastics is tomorrow?
Tomorrow, I believe it's tomorrow, yes.
So if you're into all that. And the men are today. All right, so the men that are trying to make a name for themselves in the shadows of the women gymnasts, because we don't know all the famous men gymnasts, but I could rattle off 15 or 16 of these women gymnasts.
Okay.
They've got an opportunity now to make their mark.
Yeah, but they're not going to make a mark like these ladies made
a mark. No, they can't. This is what my point earlier.
Yes.
Now you're just agreeing with me.
Yeah, no, but I didn't say the other guys stink. Again, I
said
reacted
in comparison.
To the word. I don't want to get into this argument again.
In comparison.
But words matter, G.
I mean, you know, you're taking it too literal. You're taking it too literal.
No, it's the way you said it. You said they stink.
I said it in comparison to the women, you know, which is a hard thing to argue. I mean,
I'm not asking you to compare them to the accomplishments of the women. I'm asking you to compare them to the, you know, the dedication and the hard work it takes to get to this level.
Oh, yeah. And lose repeatedly when the women are winning. But that's all. I mean, I just figured. It's just one of those things. I don't know. I mean, we got to get, how come these women instructors don't get a hold of this men's team? Try to straighten them out.
A lot of the women instructors have gotten in trouble.
Oh, have they?
Yeah. There's a lot of that crap going on. It used to go on. Anyway, Simone Biles, everybody.
No, well.
It's been through it. I feel like that whole
Yeah, but that
kind of
you're
world.
Talking about that horrible doctor, the criminal, absolute pervert.
Yeah.
Larry Nassar. Yeah, that, yes.
And the coaches and everything else.
Yeah, it's tough.
I mean, and it's, you know, it's interesting. You know, back in the days of Nadia Comaneci and Mary Lou Retton and everything, you could get away with certain things. You can't, there's no way you can get away with those things anymore.
Yeah, well, there we go. Fun discussion just dragged down. Appreciate that, man.
All right. Sorry about that.
Just having a fun Olympic discussion about, you know, women's gymnastics, and you had to go there.
Okay.
And now I don't know how to get out of it. Trade deadline? Trade deadline's over.
Coco Gauff lost.
Yeah, I know. She cried, too. So
well,
she was crying.
Cried, too. Yeah, she's there to win a gold medal and not to disappoint.
Yeah.
And she carried one of the flags.
Indeed.
Flag bearer.
When did the men's golf start? Did Scottie Scheffler get his shot out there?
Try to win gold. Yeah, I've not checked on that.
Yeah. Well, I'd be interested in looking at that, of course. So, yes, trade deadline. Giants, last episode of Hard Knocks on Max. All of that is out there for you. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. Let's go to Mike in Plainfield, New Jersey. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, guys. Listen, a long time. First time call-in. Thanks for a great show.
Yeah, man. Thanks. What you got for us?
No, just on the Olympics, I think part of the other thing that drives popularity is just how popular a lot of these sports are, not commercially, but just on the youth, high school, college level. And you go to like a youth swim meet, and there are like hundreds of people there. I mean, their track is like by far the most... one of the most participated in sports. Even things like field hockey, and you know, you could toss out any sport. You got a lot of people playing them, even if it's in their backyard. And I think that makes it, even if you're not going to follow it year round, it makes me want to watch at least just to see it presented in a really professional way, as opposed to like watching some, you know, guy on YouTube or something like that. So to me, that's a big part of the reason the Olympics are so popular.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, yeah, that. I suppose.
Yeah, I guess so. So golf starts tomorrow.
Okay.
And it goes through the 4th. It's a 3-day tournament.
All right.
And
welcome back, CBS Sports Network, by the way.
Yes, welcome back.
How's it going?
So Wyndham
been
Clark-
here grinding. I don't know what you guys have been doing.
Yeah, they've been sitting around. So
probably
nothing.
The two best hours we've ever done, now that I think about it.
So
you guys weren't here to see it.
If you want, Wyndham Clark tees off at 3:44 a.m., Scottie Scheffler, 4:11 a.m. And let's see. Then you got Xander Schauffele at 5:55
a.m. All right, nice. Maybe we'll be able to watch it in the studio.
We will be able to watch it.
I love that. Let's go to Eric in Manorville. What's going on, Eric?
Hey, Boomer, Geo, what's happening?
What's happening, Eric? What's going on?
Hey, you guys were talking about the 84 Olympics. Boomer, that was one of the greatest Olympics I ever watched, along with the 80 Olympics. You forgot one major thing with Mitch Gaylord. He was in one of the most famous movies ever with a certain wife of the greatest hockey player ever.
Wayne Gretzky's wife?
Yes, American Anthem.
American Anthem, that's right.
American Anthem?
Yes.
I'm not familiar with that movie.
Gio, let your daughters watch it. It's one of the most, it's a great gymnast movie. If there's nothing bad in it.
Okay.
And the reason why they made that movie is because Mitch Gaylord, in the 84 Olympics, he had a, on the high bar, he had a stunt that named after him. And I forget it, Boomer. Do you remember?
No, I don't remember that. I mean, I barely remembered his name, but when I saw his name and I saw it pop up, of course I remembered it.
It was the Gaylord twist. You don't remember that? That was the thing it was named after.
No.
It's got a 0% on Rotten Tomatoes. Is that what you said?
Yeah, the critics panned it, but the audience gave it a 64, oh, so okay. I guess.
Oh, so it's 16, but only 16 critic reviews. I mean, really. So what, all 16 hated it? Janet Jones. Look at that. Yep. Fall in love and train hard in Arizona for stiff competition. I mean, that sounds like a sex movie. You hear this?
Yeah, I heard
two
it.
Gymnasts fall in love and train hard in Arizona for stiff competition in a world-class meet.
Especially with that picture?
Yeah, I know. It does. It kind of, yeah. And the audience, 1,000-plus ratings, 64%. Audience loved it. Let's see.
So those feel-good movies, man.
Here's a critic review. The characters are laughable. The gymnastics are unattractive. There's nothing to recommend in this film. That's Gene Siskel.
Oof. Oh, Siskel and Ebert. Remember
yeah.
those guys? You know, those guys took themselves way too serious.
Siskel and Ebert?
It's a feel-good movie. You sit down, you watch it, you feel good about it. It takes you away from your own issues and, you know, your problems, whatever. That's you're being entertained.
Top critic Carrie Rickey from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Unfortunately, as far as acting exercises go, Gaylord couldn't score a 5.
He's not an actor.
Well, he was in this thing.
Yeah, I know, but he... I'd like to see that jackass jump up on the pommel horse is what I'd like to see. Let me see you jump up on the pommel horse.
I'd like to see Mitch Gaylord do a sports talk radio show.
Hey.
Right?
Maybe he's doing that now. Who knows?
Probably poorly, like his gymnastics career. Let's go to Dave in Brooklyn. What's going on, Dave?
Hey, fellas. Listen, I'm throwing the Jets win total at 6, maybe 7, and it's really because the offensive line. I mean, Boomer, when you played, you had some good offensive lines, and you probably know more than most. You can't just throw together a bunch of guys, no matter how decorated they may be with Pro Bowls, and just say, okay, now we got some good players, we got some young guys, and we have an offensive line. It's all about continuity and familiarity. They evolve into a unit. It is the most unified, you know, group on the field. I mean, they have to play. I mean, I just have no faith, especially with the coaching, that this team is going to be able to keep Aaron Rodgers on its feet. And that's my biggest concern.
Well, the one thing I will say in regard to the best offensive line in football, probably, in my eyes, is the Lions, maybe the 49ers. And what that previous caller is talking about is exactly what they have. And the Jets have been trying to do this with older players coming off of injury. That's the one thing that I'm not all that excited about. I don't know where I would put the Jet offensive line right now in terms of rankings, but I can't believe that there would be a top 10 group at the moment. But a lot of this has to do, and I say this all the time, when I got here in 1993, I think the year before, 1992, check this on Fleegs or somebody could check this. In 1992, I think the Jets gave up like 54 sacks. And that was Browning Nagel's year. The year after that, I got here, and I had pretty much the same offensive line that was anchored by the great Jim Sweeney. And I had Jeff Criswell, I had Cadigan, I had Siopela Malamala, and I held Dwayne White. And there was Swamp Thing was in there. But those guys were good. They were good players. And all they needed was to have somebody that was able to do the right kind of snap count, take a little edge off in the huddle. And
I can't deal with any more of you guys talking in my ear today. You guys are unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah.
39 sacks in 1992 for all of the Jets quarterbacks, and you were sacked 18 times in 1993.
All right, yeah. So, And how about the other thing, too, when I got here, I'll never forget, they used to call Cadigan and Criswell the penalty pals because they would be jumping off sides or flinching because, unfortunately, for Browning-Nagel, he just didn't have the right kind of snap count for them. And there was all this anxiety playing with somebody that you felt behind you, didn't know what he was doing. So having a veteran quarterback come in, handle the huddle, handle the snap counts, talk to the guys before the play is being run, reminder here, reminder there, that kind of takes some of the edge off, and therefore you don't have the penalties and you don't have the sacks. Now, where Aaron Rodgers failed on this one play last year is he held on to the ball. He needed to throw the ball. He wouldn't have gotten hurt.
I know. It's amazing that one of the four plays that he ran, we're sitting here saying he made a mistake.
Yep. But again, that's...
And it cost him his season.
So this year, he won't do the same thing. You know, he learned a valuable lesson last year, and he's talked about it, but he's learned a valuable lesson. He's got to be stable back. He's not playing in Green Bay with all those guys that played with him for 10, 15, 12, whatever, however many years they played. This is a whole new group of guys.
Man, if I were, and I understand that Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers, and you could say, well, he is. He's more talented at the quarterback position than Tom Brady was. But if I were him, I would just go back and I'd say, all right, I'm going to watch every snap Tom Brady took from 40 years old to when he retired.
He's not going to do that.
That's what I would do. Because you know what he didn't do? Get hurt.
That's right. He got rid of the ball, and he was in shotgun a lot.
And won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, in shotgun a lot. You know, they ran the ball effectively down there in Tampa. He had a really good coach in Bruce Arians.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's how you do it. You don't hold on to the ball, run around,
true.
40 years old.
That's right. Get rid of the football, man. Get it into somebody else's hands and get it to them as quickly as possible.
Yeah. And there was another Garrett Wilson, Aaron Rodgers intense conversation.
Good.
Love it.
Great.
I know. I think it's all going to work out between those two. I think he's going to have a massive, massive year, Garrett Wilson.
Maybe this is going to lead to the trade of Davante Adams. You never know.
Come on. Don't do that now. That's what everybody else was doing, joking around. Well, actually, probably half true.
Joking around. I still think it's going to happen. So,
but not for like Garrett. I mean, they're not trading Garrett Wilson for
Davante Adams. No. Garrett Wilson's staying right here. Garrett Wilson is a stud.
So you staying right here? Do you still think Davante Adams is going to be a Jet?
I still think he's going to be a Jet, but I also think he's definitely going to be traded.
Okay, before the season,
I would say yes.
Not at the deadline.
If he doesn't get traded before the season, then he'll definitely get traded at the deadline.
Okay.
Especially when they're like one of the worst teams in the league.
They probably should be.
That's why they should be trading him now.
Yeah. Broncos will probably be worse. I don't know. It's close. Man, it's really close between those two teams.
Yeah, you know what that means? That means Kansas City's got four wins. Right there, Kansas City's got four
wins. They should. Yeah.
I mean, those teams are a mess right now. I mean, they're trying to rebuild, don't get me wrong. And maybe they have the right coaches. Maybe Antonio Pierce and Sean Payton are the right coaches for what they're trying to do. But right now, the biggest benefactor, and it's the Chargers too, by the way.
Yeah.
So the biggest benefactor out of all of this is Kansas City.
Sean Payton.
It's going to be another AFC championship game in Kansas City.
Probably. This year, you don't have to go.
Nice. Yeah. To freeze my ass off.
Right. And get norovirus in the porta potty.
Well, last year was Baltimore.
That's right.
And that's what we had the whole thing. Somebody going after Coach Cowher, and I had to step in.
You had a lot of incidents at these AFC championship games, huh?
Yeah, it's intense. Fans are intense, man.
Yeah, I know they are.
We had
especially
the one
drunk
year
fans.
The Bengals won.
Yeah, I was right.
I was the only one who
you were there with the. Weren't you there with Icky Woods?
Icky Woods.
He was there?
Yeah, he was there.
You guys were celebrating?
Yep.
We need them back in the mix. The Bengals and the Chiefs playing each other again. Because those two teams really don't like one another.
No, they don't.
Burrowhead and all that stuff. It's a shame we missed out on that last year.
Yeah, that was tough.
And as great as Joe Burrow is, he's another one of these guys that has to put together a full healthy season.
Yes,
he does.
Or
only miss a game or two. At the very most.
So did you see who the Bengals are putting in their Ring of Honor?
Yeah, we talked about it.
We did.
Corey Dillon and Tim Crumrine.
Right. Corey Dillon says that he thinks other guys should be in the Ring of Honor. Again, like I don't think he understands that the thing got started late.
Oh, okay.
Remember he was complaining last year?
He was complaining last year. Did you talk to him?
I tried to text him.
Oh, okay.
But I'll see him this year.
So you're going to go?
Yeah.
All right, nice. I like that. You're going to be there to support you guys?
Yeah, both he and Tim Crumry.
Yeah, of course. You played with both of them.
I did.
And we had Jeff Fisher in here, and he was having nightmares about the Corey Dillon game.
Yes, he was.
His rookie season.
He was.
200 yards.
Yeah, it's the one thing that I miss is that young group of Bengal players in 97 was really, really good. They had a lot of really good players there.
Yeah. How about that story that Jeff Fisher told where he put Corey Dillon's face on a rock and dropped it into Greg Williams' fish tank to remind him of that game and to never let it happen again.
I love it.
That's good stuff. All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Quick break. Come back. Jerry Recco's got another update and moment of the day.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry Recco is back. He's got another update. He's got moment of the day for us. What's up, Jerry?
All right, good morning. Brought to you by The Farmer's Dog. Fresh human-grade dog food delivered right to your door. And brought to you by Jackpocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone with Jackpocket. And the man of the hour, the man of the morning, is one Jazz Chisholm Jr.
Strom's pitch is swung on. Hit deep to right. Back goes Castellanos at the wall. Oh, baby, another one. Adios, amigo. Smooth Jazz does it again. His fourth home run in the series.
Yeah, not too bad. Put the Yankees in front. They would have to go to extra innings to win. Yankees take it 7-6 in 12. That was Ricky Ricardo with the call right here on the Fan. Chisholm 3-for-6, the two home runs. He drove in 5. A lot of winning this team is doing right now since he's come here, and he says that's kind of cool.
Feels great, you know, being a part of a winning team, helping them win, and, you know, trying to make the playoffs right now, you know, trying to get ourselves number 28 right now.
And this game had everything in it, some big plays, nice catches, good defensive stops, big home runs, big hits. Here was Aaron Judge.
It was impressive, you know, going up against a great team like that, you know, one of the best in baseball, and, you know, kind of go blow for blow there, back and forth. It was that was a fun one to be a part
Judge
of.
Judge,
get the sweep today. Get the sweep.
Understood.
That would be great, and that would tell you that the Yankees are back being the Yankees as we saw in the first 2 months of the season.
And his Judge, he went, I'm trying to check now, he went 3-for-4. Has he got his average over 320 now? Does that sound right?
He's right around there.
To you?
I know both he and Soto are above, 310 at least.
Oh, I got him at 319. Pretty good.
Yeah, not so bad.
Pretty good. No, not so bad at all. It's pretty damn impressive. Here was Will Warren. Who is he? Well, he was the starting pitcher because Gerrit Cole was sick, had body fatigue. I don't know what it was. Stomach issue. Either way, he couldn't make the start. So Will Warren gets called up. How did he find out that he was pitching for the Yankees on this day, which had short notice?
A call from Shelly Duncan, and that was my initial thought was, oh, dang, what's going on? So, but no, excited to be here. Couldn't ask for a better, you know.
Yeah. Oh,
wow. Shelly Duncan's a manager down there? Is that what it is?
I guess. Somewhere. But he pitched really well after giving up the few runs early. Here was Mark Leiter. He gets traded to the Yankees, travels to Philly, and he worked an inning in this game. He says, pretty amazing.
They were very excited. All of them were obviously excited. Just being close to home is obviously they're able to come to more games. So that's a plus.
And talking about his family, the family connection, obviously, to the organization. 4 straight wins for the Yankees remain a half game behind Baltimore in the AL East for first place. You got Nestor Cortes, as we know, has been brutal on the road.
Yes.
Well, he gets the start today on the Fan with first pitch at 12:35. As for your Mets, pretty good night for them as well.
Line toward right center field, falling fast. That's in for a hit. Martinez drives in Nimmo from third. The easiest of situational hitting there for Martinez. His RBI brings in Nimmo to make it 1-0 Mets in the bottom of the fourth.
And that's all they would need because Sean Manaea was mowing the Twins down, though they did get a home run in the next inning from Mark Vientos. Mets win 2-0. get the shutout victory, move 7 games over .500. As for Manaea, 7 innings, 11 strikeouts, only give up 2 hits. Gets his 7th win of the season. He says everything clicked.
So I was throwing everything for strikes. I'm getting ahead of guys. And, yeah, I mean, that was a pretty much just what happened. Felt good about all my pitches, and I'm just going to have guys.
Certainly threw a lot of strikes in this game. And Edwin Diaz was, because he had Stanek went, got 2 outs, and then Diaz got the final 4, threw a lot of strikes. He gets the save. The Mets remain tied with the Padres for the 2nd and 3rd wild card spots in the National League. You had the Padres stunning the Dodgers after trailing 5-0, came back to win that game 6-5. I think it was in 11 innings. And so that's where you stand. Also of note in that tight wild card race, the Diamondbacks not only beat the Nationals, good old spanking, as they say.
Swung on, hit well. Could it be 3? Going back, call to the track. It is gone! 3-home run game. Eugenio Suarez. It's his night to remember, and it's 14-0 Diamondbacks.
They won 17-0. I mean, they just kicked the crap out of them. So they are a half game out now. You got Pittsburgh, I think, has won 3 or 4 games in a row. I think they're a couple of games out. And the Cardinals, who got Tommy Pham back, I believe he had a grand slam in his return. I think they're only a couple of games out. So that wild card race is pretty tight, as they say, for those 3 spots. Pretty cool.
Yeah, and the Mets schedule coming up, they've got that weird makeup game in St. Louis in the middle of everything. It just sucks. So they got to go after they do the getaway day today against the Twins. They go out to play the Angels for 3. Then they have to go back to St. Louis.
And for 1.
For 1, and then go out to Colorado for 3, and then finish up with Seattle for 3.
You know, it's make some hay, as they say.
Yeah.
Today. Wow. Jerry.
And while L.A. and Colorado stink, Seattle's pretty damn good. I think they lead the West now.
Yeah, and then you come home for 6. Well, actually, no, and longer than that, 9.
At the schedule. I love it.
A's and Marlins to start off that homestand.
By the way, just for the record, you just took us almost into September.
Yes. Yeah, I know.
Jared, that sounds good. I like that schedule.
Trying to get you to your 82 wins.
I'm getting my 82 wins.
I'm counting them down.
We are getting to 82. I think it's 83, I think. I think it was 82 and a half was the number. Was it 83?
I thought it was 81 and a half.
Well, maybe it is 81 and a half. Okay, maybe it is. I don't remember.
I mean, you said win me 82 games, gay Mets.
Well,
so it probably means 81 and a half.
You were all for the gay Mets.
88 wins now. That's what I expect.
Yeah, they better get it. I mean, at this point, the expectation is they got to make the playoffs.
What a season, right? What a season.
Strange.
We had the gay Mets. We got the...
You had the rally pimp.
Who's that?
The Grimace.
The Grimace. We had the team meeting.
Yeah.
We had a lot of stuff going on here.
It started with the rally pimp.
Yeah.
You had the Grimace, the team meeting. You had...
Oh, my God.
I was just going to say the song with Iglesias.
That's the other one, yeah.
You just had a lot going on here.
I know we do.
A lot going on. What do we got here? Steelers have camp in Latrobe as we turn our attention to some football. So Mike Tomlin met the media after practice yesterday. I don't know if he does it every day during training camp, but he did yesterday. And so you've got this whole thing going on with Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. I don't know if there's a battle or not. I don't know if it's just Russell Wilson's job, but... Reporter, I thought, asked a pretty good question. You get to see Justin Fields in pads for the first time. How did he look?
You know, I don't know that, you know, attire created any new learning from a quarterback perspective in terms of evaluating them. He's been doing a really good job and continued today.
But he does have his balls in a ball hammock underwear from Shinesty. So that's the one attire that... I turned him on to it. I said, put your balls in a ball hammock, man. Be a man. Russell Wilson's got his balls in a ball hammock. He married Sierra.
Oh, boy.
All different types of prints and everything.
Oh, funny. Here was Tomlin. So I guess they had a running back linebacker drill trying to pick up the blitzer, and the backs did well. He was asked, you know, how does he evaluate that when he sees them doing better than the defensive players?
If there's a winner, somebody's got to be a loser. That's just the nature of this thing in Steelers versus Steelers.
2 dogs, 1 bone.
Yes.
He's a beauty.
I do love that guy.
He is a beauty.
The Bears gave wide receiver DJ Moore a 4-year extension, $110 million. A lot of people are expecting a lot from the Bears this year. We know last year didn't go so good. They now have Caleb Williams. Here is their head coach, Matt Eberflus, in terms of the way they're trying to build a culture.
I told the guys in the beginning that, hey, just be authentic. Be yourself. That's good enough. trust me. You know, we're working, right? We got winning habits here. And winning habits, you keep doing right, things are going to go right. And just do that.
And a lot of expectations on Williams. Here was Eberflus starting to look the part.
He's really starting to pick up his leadership, too. You know, because now he feels comfortable in the offense. You can see him really starting to help coach other guys, encourage other guys, bring guys together, which he's done in the past. And that's a good sign, too.
I would say so. And then a lot expected from the Lions this year, as we know. So how does Dan Campbell, after having a nice postseason run last year and so much excitement, how does he look at camp? And that's not playing. That's interesting. All right. We'll move on to the Commanders.
All right.
Here's Dan Quinn, first-year head coach, at least with the Commanders, as we know. How is he taking his first approach through the summer?
You know, we might have a competition today that is second down, and it just leads to what the next one is. We have some two-minute at the end of the game, so just to make sure when we leave practice that day, those periods were emphasized to say this was something that we really wanted to nail. You're always working on something, but at each practice, there is an emphasis for sure.
They had they showed him talking to the crowd at practice. The crowd was lined up, it looked like, for not miles, but there was a lot of people that were excited and into Washington camp.
I mean, what does it say about how the world looks at the New York Giants that, you know, Dan Quinn, first year there, Jaden Daniels, obviously, never played it down. The Commanders have stunk for years, that they think that the Giants are going to be worse than them.
Hey, new ownership. That's the whole thing down there.
Yeah, but that doesn't really translate.
Dan Quinn isn't the most exciting guy, but Jaden Daniels is, but it's just new ownership. It's a whole new vibe around that team, and they're going to get a new stadium, and they're going to get a new stadium right where RFK was, and they're going to they have the political will down there to get it done. There is a lot of excitement about the newness of who they are. That's all there is to it, as opposed to what the Giants are dealing with. There's some newness over here, Malik Nabers, of course, and Brian Burns, but you know, those are exciting players, but they still have to figure out whether or not their quarterback is the guy that's going to take them to the next level.
Wouldn't you think, though, if you were a Giant fan, wouldn't you be fired up by the whole Burns-Thibodeau combination?
I would be. And the Malik Nabers.
Oh, no, for sure. But I was just thinking defensively, because we've seen teams that have done very well building that way, as opposed to worrying about the offense later.
Yeah, they've got some secondary issues. They're relying on rookies, guys they drafted in the third and fourth round.
You also had this weird thing between Wink Martindale and Brian Daboll.
Yeah, true. And now you hope that you've got some more on the same page stuff going on. But I mean, that hell, the Giants defense wasn't the problem.
That's true, too. That is true, too.
You know, it's amazing watching the Giants. You know, they have those padded things that they put on their helmets that they play with.
Yeah.
Watching the Steelers practice, not one guy had it on.
Maybe they weren't doing hitting that day. You know,
so why would you wear your helmet then?
To get used to running around with a helmet.
I'm watching the Bills right now.
Yeah.
And the Bills are basically in the same situation that the Steelers were, no shoulder pads.
Well, and also on the footage that CBS Sports Network is running, some guys in the background don't have that padded helmet, and some do.
Yeah.
So personal choice.
Trying to get the Steelers in trouble, I don't understand what's the...
I don't know. I was just wondering. I guess it's probably up. It's not up to the coaches. It's up to the players, I would think.
And we've talked about Sam Williams tearing his ACL with the Cowboys. Here's head coach Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, first with Sam, obviously, that's a really tough break, especially for him, because, you know, he was clearly going to be a primary contributor.
Yeah, well, now he's not going to be, and it looks like rookie Marshawn Nealon will have to pick up the slack very quickly in Big D. The Knicks signing Precious Achiuwa, 1 year, $6 million. And then you guys, we were talking about this women's rugby team, the U.S. women's rugby team winning the bronze. I didn't realize it was in such winning fashion,
yes.
So I went and found the audio.
Oh, you did? Okay, good.
From NBC Sports.
Bologna Ma. Ramsey. Cedric. Spiff Cedric's away. Cedric up over the 50, the 40. She's going to take it all the way. Cedric for the USA.
And I am so beside myself right now.
It is level at 12 apiece. The conversion will win the bronze medal for Team USA.
And it was a little pooch kick, which they made, and they wound up winning, and so they got the bronze medal. That was kind of cool.
The conversion.
The conversion.
Did back-to-back sportsmen. It's one yesterday and another one today on the women's sevens team.
Very nice.
Yep.
Look at you. And did you see Anthony Edwards attending the ping pong matches?
I didn't.
And very into it. very into it.
I mean, I am too. I love watching that professional ping pong stuff. Or I mean, at that high of a level, it's crazy to watch.
I agree. There's also, and I'm not into pickleball, but I have seen some pickleball rallies that look pretty wild too.
And the Olympic, got pickleball in the Olympics?
No, I didn't say that. I'm saying in general, just some of these professional pickleball players where they are just wailing it back and so close. And the reaction speed is remarkable.
It's going to be me and Phil Sims.
Oh, is this true?
Oh, yeah. They're teaming up.
Yep. Good for you. When is this?
I don't know. You've got to stretch out a little bit.
Oh, God. Don't tear an ACL.
No, my goodness.
Oh, my God.
Trying to win that men's over 80 championship.
It's not over 80. The U.S. men's basketball team plays South Sudan today at 3 p.m. And with that, it is time for Moment of the Day, which is brought to you by the family of Casamigos Tequilas, Añejo, Blanco, Cristalino, Reposado, Mezcal, and new Casamigos Jalapeno. Casamigos Tequila brought to you by those who drink it, reminding you to enjoy each moment of your day responsibly. So we had some fun with the sound this morning from the Yankees, and we had some fun with the Yankees radio booth. Crazy how we can always manipulate audio, as you will. So I'll play something and then I'll explain it.
I just figured out what I'm giving Emmanuel Barbari for his birthday.
What, am I hand?
What the hell is going on?
Like I said, you can manipulate the audio and isolate and put bleeps in where they're really not needed.
Yeah.
But when you do, it sounds funny. Or you can just isolate.
You're giving Emmanuel a facial?
There. So then you
want to hit insult to injury and Ricky gets the job?
Go over here, young man.
Chad Jizzle.
So then you play
adios, amigos.
You got to be kidding me. There you go. Moment of the day. Oh,
very good, Jerry. Thank you. It is Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Belfort Dove studio. Oh, boy.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Moose popped in to say hello. He's doing the midday show up until Yankees pregame. Told me he was going to open up with the leader of Hamas being assassinated in Iran. That's what he said he was going to open up with.
This is going to be...
Yeah, so buckle up, folks. You know, you think you got trade deadline stuff, but then news breaks overnight and the Moose does not let breaking news just evaporate. He's going to hit that hard, so... you can jump on the line now if you want to get to talking to him about it. 888-808-1019 for the Moose. So, Zoo, I saved this for a time where we had nothing to talk about. Zoo yesterday floated this ridiculous idea to me. And I still cannot believe that he thinks that this is even possible. He said if you were given 10 years, which Olympic event... In the Summer Olympics, do you think, if you were given 10 years to train, could you actually compete in and be able to, like, realistically compete?
So we got to go back, well, not at our age. We'd have to be doing it when we were, say, 18 to 28.
I don't know, Zoo. Where?
I mean, I guess however you want to take the question, I guess if you feel like you could do it now in 10 years and do it or not.
Yeah, so when I'm 73 years old, I'm going to jump in a pool with an 18-year-old?
I mean, probably.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Hey, man. A little Bill Belichick.
Yeah, you're right. I know. But here's the thing.
Yeah.
The only thing that I think that I could have ever competed in, if I wanted to maybe put the effort into it when I was around 18, would be swimming.
Okay.
Would have been a freestyle swimming.
All right. So I'll go back. I mean, this was a professional athlete that we're talking about. So I'll go back because I was not anywhere near a high-level athlete. I played football and baseball in high school. I was not very good.
Kept the book.
I did keep the book when I hurt when I dislocated my shoulder and then broke my finger.
And you got a captain's award.
I did get the captain's award because I was in it.
Don't undercut yourself.
But going back, if you gave me 10 years, let's say I was starting at like 15 years old, and you gave me 10 years...
How about the hammer throw?
No, this is what I came up with.
The javelin.
No, this is what I came up with. water polo. Team sport.
Yep.
I could at least, at the very least, be the goalie. I don't have to carry the team. I feel like you don't even, I mean, I know it's tough, but you gave me 10 years to train in a pool at that age. I had a little bit of an arm, catching. I feel like I move around. Pool sort of slows people down a little bit.
What about ping pong?
No, there's no way. I've played ping pong. I love it. I feel like I can
Have you had 10 years of training with ping pong?
No way.
How about these guys? How about badminton?
That's the one Zoo thought he could do, by the way. Table tennis.
No way. In college,
we were breeding a group of 20-year-old kids to go and play table tennis in the Olympics, and then somebody had to jump through our table tennis place in the frat house. But that's not here nor there. A lot of dreams are crushed that day. But I'm telling, I feel like that could have happened. But realistically, me and Bogish were talking about it, and I sat there and I was like, you know what? It probably would be weightlifting.
See, but here's the thing. Like, I don't believe a word you say, you know, because you were in here and I said, you know, do you think you could do the five borough bike tour? Could you get yourself to do the five borough bike tour, the whole thing? And you were like, yeah, I could do this. I'm going to be ready to go. How'd that work out?
I failed.
Yeah. All right. So
I was a failure.
So you're out.
Yeah.
So did they have sumo wrestling in the Olympics?
I don't believe so. No, and I don't think so.
They have hurt your quad in the bike tour. That's part of it.
Right. Hurt your quad.
I get the gold.
And hurt your quad and quit. Gold medal.
You can't show up with the Schwinn pea picker to ride it for the bike tour.
You gave him credit for weeks after that, going, hey, he showed up, he raised the money, now all of a sudden you're trashing
him. No, I appreciate it, but what he's talking about is something that we lived through with him.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah, so I like one of the teammates on the water polo team is what I came up with if you gave me 10
okay,
years.
Okay, that's pretty good. I could see that. Badminton.
Because right, I'm not going to individual competing
how
like that.
How about shooting?
Yeah, I mean.
You could do shooting.
I guess. Is that just straight up an Olympic sport?
Yeah.
What about sailing?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know if that's individual or that's a team thing, too. If it was a team thing, I could say yeah. But nothing individual. There's no way.
How about the canoe? How about the judo?
No.
No, judo, tennis?
Shooting and archery are both summer games.
Ah, how about fencing? No. I could see you as a fencer.
No. There's no way you give me 10 years back then I'd be able to be a world champion fencer.
You don't think so?
No. No, that takes some serious, like, hand-eye coordination.
How about BMX biking? I mean, you're a biker now. You've done some biking.
No. I'm telling you, I gave you the one. I went through all this. I gave you the one. I'm in a pool with a ball on a team. I'd be able to compete. If you gave me 10 years, I'd be able to figure it out. I'd at least be a contributing member of the team.
Golf?
No. 10 years?
Yeah.
10 years to be one of the best golfers in the world. Come on, stop.
I think handball, maybe. You just body some people. It's a smaller court.
Break dancing?
No.
Definitely.
No.
You got moves?
No.
You definitely.
I never would have been able to.
That's where you should go, Zoo.
The fast switch.
No, the break dancing.
Hey, I already got that. I already got that unlocked. We've seen that.
Okay. What about you, Fleegs? Do you think you got a sport? You got an answer for this?
I would go with shooting or archery. Okay. And like you, the team sport, you know, hiding is the goalie.
Yeah. Like, I mean, and I feel like they score every time they get close to the net in water polo. I was watching some of it. It's like the goalie's not expected to do much.
How long do people train for equestrian? Like, if you're young and you start riding horses early.
You don't have the money for it. That's a money sport if there ever was one.
Some guy went to high school with his daughter is into like equestrian stuff.
Yeah, sitting like, on a horse for like 2 years. I was like, oh my God, I got to get out of this.
Yeah, I mean, that is, yeah, that's
rough. There goes any golf club membership.
Did you have to buy her a horse?
No.
Okay, good.
She liked it, but I didn't.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of those things that if Sabrina is passionate about equestrian, I'm going to have to squash that one. I'm going to say I'm sorry.
How about sport climbing? Can you guys do sport climbing?
No. Come on. Get serious.
Well, that's actually a really fun one to watch because they fly up that wall in like less than like 10 seconds half the time.
Exactly. I can see Fleegs doing that. Fleegs like Spider-Man going up the wall.
Spider-Man, Mike Fliegelman? I don't think so. Sorry. As much as I like Fleegs, sport climbing's not his thing. He's an archery.
We both like beach volleyball.
Yeah, but there's some really, really good. They're tall, athletic. I never would have fit that.
What caliber of football players do you think are going to play flag football in 2028? Like Daniel Jones, quarterback of Team USA?
No. Who's going to let their quarterback go be the quarterback of
Nobody.
Team USA?
Nobody. It'd have to be a retired guy.
Ben Roethlisberger?
Have to be. No, but by 28, he's going to be.
Boomer and Phil fighting for that spot?
Yeah, us fighting for it. No, we'll be the pickleball members.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be someone like freshly retired in 2028. That's going to be amazing. Flag football. Olympics.
Aaron Rodgers.
that could be a thing.
He can be running for vice president at that point. He'll be retired, and then he can also go to the Olympics.
But like the skill players cannot be retired, guys. The skill players have to be guys that are very young and fast that just couldn't make it into the NFL.
College guys.
Yeah, that's what I asked.
Like the guys who are right now in the XFL, UFL, all those.
Right,
guys.
Like the fastest skill guys. That's probably what it would have to be.
Well, the problem is that, you know, you're not going to get any active players because it's going to be going on when training camp is going on.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. You're definitely no active players. Yeah. And plus, even if there were active players, nobody would let them do it in the offseason either.
But Eddie's, you know, Pat Boyle.
Pat Boyle would be the type of guy?
Yeah.
Who would be on the, and we're watching the flag football game where Pat Boyle was going off.
Yep.
Definitely the MVP of that game.
Eddie Scazzeri. Look at him block. I am not kidding.
He had a natural offensive lineman instinct when he got in that game.
Yeah, he did.
And he never did that before. Like he got
He's
in the way.
So much football that you have to understand.
He was like, shuffling his feet. It was crazy. Yeah. He was doing everything. He was like pushing guys away so you could like step up in the pocket. Yes. I mean, it was crazy to watch him.
Because he watches so much football, knows exactly what you're supposed to do. Now, getting to where he needed to get to, not so much.
Yeah, but I mean, come on. You could watch Dizzy Gillespie play the trumpet over and over again. You're not going to be able to do it. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but for 50 years, he's been watching football.
Okay. I've been watching movies for 42. I'm not going to go win an Oscar.
That's fine for sure.
I mean, he's the... Watch him on this. I think this might be the one. Look at this. Look at him step back. Oh, yeah, That was a bad one. All right, Here's a good one. Look, relentless. Look, and then he comes back and gets him again. And the other guy. That was the one.
He seems to have a great sense of where his quarterback is and where he needs to go with the play.
You know why? Because his quarterback has been running all over the place.
I was like, watch this one. It's the one a guy blew right by him. But the next two are good.
He was retreating too far, and I was saying, you're retreating too far, Eddie. Take two steps and then step forward.
Stop it with the offensive line.
That one bad one, he backpedaled right past you.
Yes.
The defender was like, what
are you doing?
You just go right after him. Oh, that was fun. We should do that again.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Moose popped in to say hello. He's doing the midday show up until Yankees pregame. Told me he was going to open up with the leader of Hamas being assassinated in Iran. That's what he said he was going to open up with.
This is going to be...
Yeah, so buckle up, folks. You know, you think you got trade deadline stuff, but then news breaks overnight, and the Moose does not let breaking news just evaporate. He's going to hit that hard, so... you can jump on the line now if you want to get to talking to him about it. 888-808-1019 for the Moose. So, Zoo, I saved this for a time where we had nothing to talk about. Zoo yesterday floated this ridiculous idea to me. And I still cannot believe that he thinks that this is even possible. He said if you were given 10 years, which Olympic event... In the Summer Olympics, do you think, if you were given 10 years to train, could you actually compete in and be able to, like, realistically compete?
So we got to go back, well, not at our age. We'd have to be doing it when we were, say, 18 to 28.
I
mean, I guess however you want to take the question, I guess if you feel like you could do it now in 10 years and do it or not.
Yeah, so when I'm 73 years old, I'm going to jump in a pool with an 18-year-old?
I mean, probably
hopefully.
Not.
Yeah.
Hey, man. Hey, man. A little Bill Belichick.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. I know, but here's the thing.
Yeah.
The only thing that I think that I could have ever competed in, if I wanted to maybe put the effort into it when I was around 18, would be swimming.
Okay.
Would have been a freestyle swimming.
All right, so I'll go back. I mean, this was a professional athlete that we're talking about. So I'll go back because I was not anywhere near a high-level athlete. I played football and baseball in high school. I was not very good.
Kept the book.
I did keep the book when I hurt when I dislocated my shoulder and I broke my finger.
And you got a captain's award.
I did get the captain's award because I was in it.
Don't undercut yourself.
But going back, you gave me 10 years. Let's say I was starting at like 15 years old, and you gave me 10 years.
How about the hammer throw?
No, this is what I came up with.
The javelin.
No, this is what I came up with. Water polo. Team sport.
Yep.
I could at the very least, be the goalie. I don't have to carry the team. I feel like I know it's tough, but you gave me 10 years to train in a pool at that age. I had a little bit of an arm. Catching. I feel like I move around. Pool sort of slows people down a little bit.
What about ping pong?
No, there's no way. I've played ping pong. I love it. I feel like I can
compete. Have you had 10 years of training with ping pong?
No way.
How about
these guys?
How about badminton?
That's the one Zoo thought he could do, by the way.
No
table tennis.
Way. No way.
In college, we were breeding a group of 20-year-old kids to go and play table tennis in the Olympics, and then somebody had to jump through our table tennis place in a frat house. But that's not here nor there. A lot of dreams were crushed that day. But I'm telling, I feel like that could have happened. But realistically, me and Bogish were talking about it, and I sat there and I was like, you know what? It probably would be weightlifting.
See, but here's the thing. Like, I don't believe a word you say, you know, because you were in here and I said, you know, do you think you could do the 5-borough bike tour? Could you get yourself to do the 5-borough bike tour, the whole thing? And you were like, yeah, I could do this. I could do this. I'm going to be ready. I'm going to be ready to go. How'd that work out?
I failed.
Yeah. All right. So
I was a failure.
So you're out.
Yeah.
So did they have sumo wrestling in the Olympics?
I don't believe so. No, I don't think so.
They have hurt your quad in the bike tour. That's part of it.
Right. Hurt your quad.
I get the gold.
And hurt your quad and quit. Gold medal.
You can't show up with the Schwinn pea picker to ride it for the bike tour.
You gave him credit for weeks after that, going, hey, he showed up, he raised the money, now all of a sudden you're trashing
him. No, I appreciate it, but what he's talking about is something that we lived through with him.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah, so I like one of the teammates on the water polo team is what I came up with if you gave me 10
okay,
years.
Okay, that's pretty good. I could see that. Badminton.
Because I'm not going to individual competing
like
that.
How about shooting?
Yeah, I mean.
You could do shooting.
I guess. Is that just straight up an Olympic sport?
Yeah.
What about sailing?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know if that's individual or that's a team thing, too. If it was a team thing, I could say yeah. But nothing individual. There's no way.
How about the canoe? How about the judo?
No.
No, judo, tennis?
Shooting and archery are both summer games.
Ah, how about fencing?
No.
I could see you as a fencer.
No. There's no way you give me 10 years back then I'd be able to be a world champion fencer.
You don't think so?
No. No, that takes some serious, like, hand-eye coordination.
How about BMX biking? I mean, you're a biker now.
No.
You've done some biking.
No. I'm telling you, I gave you the one. I went through all this. I gave you the one. I'm in a pool with a ball on a team. I'd be able to compete. If you gave me 10 years, I'd be able to figure it out. I'd at least be a contributing member of the team.
Golf?
No. 10 years?
Yeah.
10 years to be one of the best golfers in the world. Come on, stop.
I think handball, maybe. You just body some people. It's a smaller court.
Break dancing?
No.
Definitely.
No.
You got moves?
No.
You definitely
I never would have been able to do
that. That's where you should go, Zoo.
The fast
break,
switch.
No, the break dancing.
Hey, I already got that. I already got that on lock. We've seen that.
Okay. What about you, Fleegs? Do you think you got a sport? You got an answer for this?
I would go with shooting or archery. Okay. And like you, the team sport, you know, hiding is the goalie.
Yeah. Like, I mean, and I feel like they score every time they get close to the net in water polo. I was watching some of it. It's like the goalie's not expected to do much.
How long do people train for equestrian? Like, if you're young and you start riding horses early,
You don't have the money for it. That's a money sport if there ever was one.
Some guy I went to high school with his daughter is into like equestrian stuff.
Yeah, and I was sitting like, on a horse for like 2 years. I was like, oh my God, I gotta get out of this.
Yeah, I mean, that is, yeah, that's
there, go, there goes any golf club membership.
Did you have to buy her a horse?
No.
Okay, good.
She liked it, but I didn't.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of those things that if Sabrina is passionate about equestrian, I'm gonna have to squash that one. I'm going to say I'm sorry.
How about sport climbing? Can you guys do sport climbing?
No. Come on. Get serious.
Well, that's actually a really fun one to watch because they fly up that wall in like less than like 10 seconds half the time.
Exactly. I can see Fleeg's not doing that. Fleeg's like Spider-Man going up
there. Spider-Man, Mike Fliegelman? I don't think so. Sorry. As much as I like Fleeg's, sport climbing's not his thing. He's an archery.
We both like beach volleyball.
Yeah, but there's some really, really good. They're tall, athletic. I never would have fit that.
What caliber of football players do you think are going to play flag football in 2028? Like Daniel Jones, quarterback of Team USA?
No. Who's going to let their quarterback go be the quarterback for
Nobody.
Team USA?
Nobody. It'd have to be a retired guy.
Ben Roethlisberger?
Have to be. No, but by 28, he's going to be.
Boomer and Phil fighting for that spot?
Yeah, us fighting for it. No, we'll be the pickleball members.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be someone like freshly retired. In 2028. That's going to be amazing.
Flag football
Olympics. Aaron Rodgers.
that could be a thing.
He can be running for vice president at that point. He'll be retired, and then he can also go to the Olympics.
But like the skill players cannot be retired, guys. The skill players have to be guys that are very young and fast that just couldn't make it into the NFL.
College guys.
Yeah, that's what I asked.
Like the guys who are right now in the XFL, UFL, all those.
Right, like the fastest skill guys. That's probably what it would have to be.
Well, the problem is that, you know, you're not going to get any active players because it's going to be going on when training camp is going on.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. You're definitely no active players. Yeah. And plus, even if there were active players, nobody would let them do it in the offseason either.
But Eddie's, you know, Pat Boyle.
Pat Boyle would be the type of guy?
Yeah.
Who would be on the, and we're watching the flag football game where Pat Boyle was going off.
Yep.
Definitely the MVP of that game.
Eddie Scazzeri. Look at him block. I am not kidding.
He had a natural offensive lineman instinct when he got in that game.
Yeah, he did,
and he never did that before. Like he got
He's
in the way.
So much football that you have to understand.
He was like, shuffling his feet. It was crazy. Yeah. He was doing everything. He was like pushing guys away so you could like step up in the pocket. Yes. I mean, it was crazy to watch him.
Because he watches so much football, knows exactly what you're supposed to do. Now, getting to where he needed to get to, not so much.
Yeah, but I mean, come on. You could watch Dizzy Gillespie play the trumpet over and over again. You're not going to be able to do it. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but for 50 years, he's been watching football.
Okay. I've been watching movies for 42. I'm not going to go win an Oscar.
That's for sure.
I mean, he's the... Watch him on this. I think this might be the one. Look at this. Look at him step back. Oh, yeah, that was a bad one. All right, here's a good one. Look, relentless. Look, and then he comes back and gets him again. And the other guy. That was the one.
He seems to have a great sense of where his quarterback is and where he needs to go with the play.
Oh, you know why? Because his quarterback has been running all over the place.
I was like, watch this one. It's the one the guy blew right by him. But the next two are good.
He was retreating too far, and I was saying, you're retreating too far, Eddie. Take two steps and then step forward.
Stop it with the offensive line.
That one bad one, he backpedaled right past you. Yes. The defender was like, what are you doing? He just go right after him. Oh, that was fun. We should do that again.